talked about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Warning. Do not confuse any lightheartedness in the following video with a glib attitude toward the problem at hand.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now, Defense Minister McCain McLeod did confirm today that more than 54 18 fighter jets are spending about as much as 20 and ready to assist the 600 100 deployed over the amount needed. Now, it did depend that how the NOLAN remerges RN while the university or the UN mission as whole received support from all batteries in the hues of the Garvins of today. Excuse me. I'll hand it back to you.
And now.
Let's face it. Some people have a way with words. Other people not have a way, I guess.
Our feature presentation.
Who was that dude? That made me feel terrible.
No.
I thought that was you in your news days, no?
I mean, it certainly could have been.
I don't have his name in front of me.
It was real, though? It wasn't it was a sketch?
No, no, it was real. It was
sweetie.
I feel it was probably a heavy rotation moment, right?
Right, sure.
Same sort of thing that happened to Serena.
But it went on for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think he just got so jumbled and then got so in his head and he just...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was just flustered and lost his place and just was trying to ad-lib his way out of it?
Oh, man.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Yes, I have.
Well, a very, very heavy rotation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terrison for the bit. They had the pit.
Oh.
And that was Serena Branson, right? And that was a thing that happened in her head where she kind of lost the ability to form the words that she was thinking and thought she was saying, but they were just coming out wrong, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it was a really, really, really bad migraine is what they determined it was.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah.
A migraine?
Yeah.
Have you had that? Al, you have migraines. Have you had experienced anything like that?
I don't know because I don't talk to a lot of people, so they wouldn't be able to tell me.
You know, on the air, it sounds like you do on the air a lot, but I just wondered if you're aware of it.
That is, I'm not. Yeah, that's not nice.
How you feeling, by the way?
Not great.
Okay,
no.
Good. Well, welcome back anyway.
Hey, thanks.
I try to shame Allie into coming back to work as much as I can when she's out sick.
Yeah, about 4 texts yesterday. Hey, how you feeling, Buttercup?
He does that.
And then they get continually like, seriously, though, you're going to make it. Why don't women like working with me?
Yeah.
See you tomorrow, right?
He does it a lot because I don't think he buys that anyone's sick. I think he thinks it's just a ruse for you.
It's a ruse. It's I want to take off work. Yeah,
you know those Tuesdays off are just, those are the prime days to take off.
I'm just saying that there are days that I wake up and I go, man, I didn't have to work. I wish I didn't have to work today. But you know what I do?
You walk those 4 steps to the microphone.
Right.
And come to work and put on a high quality program.
All right.
You know, you don't do get in the car and drive 30 miles.
Yeah. Well, you don't almost faint in the shower and then think, oh, my God, why am I puking? You don't think that?
No.
Okay.
No, I press on. I'm a gladiator. You know. I'm a warrior.
You're a gladiator.
More the opposite
of a gladiator.
Seriously.
Hey, I know we have a lot of a show to get to, and I was thinking about this a lot. Look.
Use your words.
What's happening?
Look. And I know how there's one listener that loves it when I start any sentence with look, look, look. I don't want to be a bummer. I don't want to bring the room down. We're here to have fun. People tune into the Kevin Bean Show because they want to laugh, presumably, although they're frequently disappointed. But North Korea, right?
Right.
I mean, for reals, though, look, here's the thing. The news rarely affects you personally, and it's possible that this news won't affect us personally as well. But there's also a possibility that we are America on December 6, 1941 right now, and we're going to wake up tomorrow, and we're going to be in a world war
that is going to affect all of us for decades.
I like that Bean doesn't overstate things.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's a possibility.
Right.
And a lot of times you don't feel like that's, you feel like, oh, you know what? That's ancient history. That's the type of thing that doesn't happen anymore. We learned our lesson. That's what everybody thought after World War I, is that it was the war to end all wars. They thought, well, that'll never happen again. And then World War II came along, and it was so much worse. And now we've had a few years, and most of us have grown up, and we've never known a situation like this. Yeah, you know, we have listeners who remember Vietnam, and certainly there are people who have been affected personally by, you know, Afghanistan and other places. But we're on the potential eve of something that is going to be historically, you know, up there with World War I and World War II. And it's a little bit terrifying to think about that. I mean, the pieces are being moved into place is what I'm saying. And it's super easy to just ignore it. But it's also super easy to pay attention to it and go, I really don't like what I'm seeing here.
I obviously don't like what I'm seeing, but don't you think it's being maybe it's just two dudes with their, you know, whatever's out just swinging them at each other.
I hope it's all bluster. But look, I feel like in the past, North Korea has been crazy for a long time.
Right.
But the rest of the world has figured out a way to manage him.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think we have a guy who's a hothead who... Look, there are a lot of people who think that, you know, we kind of backed ourselves into a corner by saying the red line is they can't have a nuclear weapon that could reach America. Well, now they have a nuclear weapon that could reach America, so we're kind of forced into doing something, but what? But what? I mean, look, the U.S. government's in a very tough spot right now. And then when North Korea comes back and says, hey, we're going to bomb Guam, that's where it begins.
What did Guam do? Leave Guam out of it.
I do feel like they're the innocent bystander
here.
Yeah,
they're like, hey, you know, we voted 75% for Hillary. Maybe not so much us.
I think they're close to North Korea, I guess. They're 2,000 miles away, so they're easy target.
Yeah.
And there are 200,000 Americans on Guam.
Yeah, huge military presence, too.
Military, yeah, exactly. So that's a real statement. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they start bombing American territories, then we have no choice but to then, I assume, militarily respond, right? The first thing they do is blow up South Korea, and that's millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just hard to imagine that it gets better. You know,
we're all going to die tonight.
I mean, Kevin, how do you handle when you wake up and there's news like this? Do you just ignore it, or what do you do? What's the secret here to blissfully enjoying your day when we're on the brink of nuclear war?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
I think moving the pieces into place happens all the time.
We just don't know about it because somebody's not saying fire and fury.
And I think probably a very, very, very low percentage of the time does it come out to be as bad as it might be.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's, you know.
So you still feel like the odds are overwhelmingly that there won't be a big serious war.
Yes.
I just want to know, do I need to floss? Can I eat carbs? There are things I would do if I'm going to die.
I mean,
if there's a nuclear, if there's a nuclear cloud and they screw up my eclipse viewing, I'm telling you, that's where I draw the line. If I can't see the eclipse because of stupid nuclear war, now it's getting personal.
It's true.
Well, I just want to put it out there in case this is the last or one of the last broadcasts is I don't like it. All right.
You're something. Good morning.
You are something. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power. The likes of which this world has never seen before.
Bean referred to eclipse fever.
Mm-hmm.
Eclipse.
Yes. He made that about
a week ago and hasn't had time to play it. So he's very excited about eclipse fever.
Yeah.
Well, who isn't?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at me. Two people.
It's Wednesday, so we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Bean is angry at his, is it dentist or doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor. For calling
to... they're wasting my time. I'm busy, too.
No, they're not.
For calling to confirm his appointment. But that's not the part that really grinds his gears, right?
Yeah.
It's that they want you to call back and tell them that you're in, that you understand that you have an appointment.
Exactly, yeah. That's right. Don't treat me like a child. I made the appointment. I know I have an appointment. Don't make me call you back to confirm that I received your confirmation call.
But then...
Very reasonable.
What if you call them back and say, can you guys call me back to confirm you got this?
That's a great idea.
That's
exactly
funny.
Exactly what I should have done.
And keep going all day.
Right? Exactly what I should have done. Call him after hours so I leave a voicemail.
Right.
Make sure I don't get to talk to anybody.
Hey,
it's
listen,
very
I'm
important
not sure
you call
guys
back.
Got my message either, so if you could call me back, that'd be cool.
Well, we'll discuss, but I'm just telling you right now, you're all wrong.
Okay.
All right. Andrew Siciliano's on the program today.
Oh, I missed Andrew so much.
Talking about Colin Kaepernick and also Jay Cutler on the program today. And what else do we have? We have Susan Michaels.
Oh, your nemesis.
Yeah.
You've been looking forward to this all year long.
She's the creator or she runs it? Do we know?
I think both.
CatCon?
I think both,
yeah.
Yeah. I think a special guest, K-Rex Kevin, down there this year, right?
Oh, wow.
You need a booth or something?
That's great.
I don't feel like that's
bring your cat and have get a picture of your cat with K-Rex Kevin.
It would be phenomenal. He'll be showing you how to use the Licky Cat.
I'm not sure
Licky
that's
brush.
The thing. Licky Brush, I think it is.
Great idea.
So anyway, that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Ellie and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
First ones are hard. First words are hard. Once you get a head of steam up, you can just keep going.
Takes a bit of a...
Yeah, those first couple words.
4 or 5 seconds.
K and the R and the O and the Q all together. Ugh.
This is why we do the pre-show, you guys, that's not on the air between 5:30 and 6, is so that we hit the ground hot at 6 a.m.
You got to stretch. You got to stretch before you hit the field.
That's
right?
What we're doing here.
Calisthenics.
Right. So here's the fake showbiz news to get all the kinks out before we go live at 6. What's going on, Ralph?
The kinks aren't going on the show today. Come on, Bean. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Glenn Campbell, right? I know many people probably don't even know who Glenn Campbell is. But he was a super talented guy. And he has passed away at the age of 81. Died in Nashville. Passed away from Alzheimer's, which had long plagued him. In fact, even if you're not a fan of Glenn Campbell, there's an amazing documentary called I'll Be Me that chronicled his life with that disease. It was released back in 2014. Fascinating but devastating documentary about him losing his ability to perform because of the ravages of Alzheimer's. But really, incredible career. If you look back on it, a master guitarist was started really as a session musician in L.A. for many years in the 60s, played with everybody from Sinatra to the Beach Boys. And then he actually joined the Beach Boys for a while in the 60s, then got a solo musical deal with Capitol Records and started cranking out a long string of hits, like By the Time I Get to Phoenix and Wichita Lineman and Galveston and Rhinestone Cowboy and Southern Nights. Was a TV star, had his own TV show, was a movie star, was in the original version of True Grit with John Wayne. Did it all. And now has passed away at the age of 81. So,
well, like you said, this Alzheimer's battle has been public for a long time. We knew this was coming, but it's still sad. It's a great opportunity for people, if they're not familiar with Glenn Campbell's work, to look into it because he was exceptional.
Yeah. You may have heard the rumors that Sean Spicer was asked by the producers of Dancing with the Stars to join the cast.
I heard that on the Ralph Showbiz beat.
Well, mm-hmm. He was right.
Was he?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Ha-ha! So that on you, then. Double dumbass on you. He was indeed asked by the producers to join the cast. However, he reportedly has declined the invitation. Imagine him doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Strange to imagine. There's also a rumor growing around that Bachelor in Paradise contestant DeMario would be competing. But that turned out not to be the case. He has not been asked to join. Neither has Anthony Scaramucci, which was another rumor that they asked him to join. So far, no one. It has been announced regarding the cast of the upcoming season. The announcement is being held close to the vest and will be released later next month, they say. You'll finally find out who's going to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. But so far, none of the rumors have turned out to be...
I know that show is so popular, Ralph.
It is very popular, Bean.
Very popular. Aren't you surprised that more... bigger stars don't go on it? I am.
No, because I think it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't think they have anything to gain.
I think you put on a sparkly shirt and you do the tango and you look like an asshole.
And you think a lot of career needs it?
I think, yes, you do it if you're on the way up or you're on the way down. Mm-hmm. But if you're a big star, I don't think you want to embarrass yourself.
All right. I'm just thinking about the people who are, you know, young and can dance, you'd think that it would be fun for them. You know what I mean?
Well, they do. They go on. The the Zendayas and the, you know, the Disney kids who are trying to change their image and get bigger celebrity and more work, they're always on there.
Loveline, Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
On the way up, like I said, on the way up.
Yep.
More the way
why
up.
Why hasn't Dr. Drew done it yet? He doesn't usually turn down any TV shows. Let's start trying to draft Dr. Drew to get on Dancing with the Stars.
Is that how it works?
Well, Catherwood's done it. Carolla's done it. Let's get Drew to do it. Wouldn't that be fun?
No, the man's a medical professional. He's got.
I think he's busy.
He's legit.
Doesn't mean he can't cut a rug.
He's not a clown.
Doesn't mean he can't shake a leg.
Shake a leg? What a, are you doing? The Lindy Hop? Is this 1938?
Come on, Dr. Drew.
Why don't you do it?
Well, I have not. Look.
DJ Gangly, why don't you get out there and just minute ball over the dance floor? Your limbs akimbo.
I can't dance at all.
No one can. Half the people in that show can't.
Yeah.
Let's draft Bean to get on Dancing with the Stars.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be the best thing ever.
He's a star, though. He's got fans around the country. He's a great choice. Let's talk him into it. I'm serious. Let's do it.
Congratulations to Judge Judy. Just been announced. They've renewed Judge Judy's contract for a 25th season of her television program.
It doesn't make sense.
It does make sense because Judy draws about 10 million viewers a day.
A day.
That is shocking.
Wow.
Wow.
That's larger than almost all primetime evening television programs.
Wow.
Wow.
Judy, of course, reportedly makes $47 million a year due to her popular program. Which
not interested, sir.
And CBS has just picked up the entire library of her syndicated court show episodes yesterday. Over 5,200 hours worth of Judge Judy. Purchased by CBS to put on their streaming service, cable network, or even their new all-access pay streaming service. So
you guys ever watched it?
Zippo, nada.
You guys ever watched Judge Judy?
Sure. Of course.
She's got no time for anyone. I love it. I
thought this would be interesting. We do from time to time the top-rated shows on television. How about the top-rated syndicated shows on television? I told you Judge Judy is number one. That's the most watched syndicated show on television. Any guesses as to what other syndicated shows are in the top 10?
Now, would this include your Access Hollywoods and your Entertainment Tonight?
It would.
Oh.
Are they on the list?
Entertainment Tonight is 10th.
Ooh, okay.
It's the only entertainment news show on there.
Big Bang Theory, for
Big
sure.
Big Bang Theory and reruns is 6th.
Seinfeld?
No. Stop
no.
it. Stop it.
Oh, interesting.
Not, what about that?
2008. Video. All right, the Farhead
video
show.
Game the video salute show.
I salute
they,
you.
I'm
I point at my eye. I am wheeling. I'm wheeler and dealer.
Right, first word. First word.
My hand.
People
my hand. Fall. I'm flapping. I'm flipping.
America's Funniest Home Videos.
Thank you. Kevin.
No.
Oh God.
How about Jeopardy?
No.
It was worth it.
How about Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune?
Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune are 4th and 5th on the list.
How about the only, 2 and a Half Men?
Not the only game shows, by the way, on the list. Yeah,
that's a nice hint. How about 2 and a Half Men?
No.
Family Feud.
Family Feud, second, Allie, second.
Well done.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? No.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
No, stop.
I don't know.
It's not 2005.
We're just guessing.
You're naming sitcoms that were popular about a decade ago.
Right, because they're in syndication
right,
now and they're on every day.
Then people stopped watching them. No one, Raymond isn't busting through the ratings in syndication.
Mr. Wizard.
Yes.
Gilligan's Island.
He was syndicated, by the way, after he was on the network.
That's what I heard, yes. All right, why don't you just
how about a little show called the Dr. Phil Show? Does anybody remember that?
Sure.
Really?
Okay, Dr. Phil.
Yes. What do you mean, really? Of course.
Sure. Allie, you're forgetting the Cash Me Outside bump.
I know, I just feel like a lot of people don't watch that.
Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll be surprised to know the number 3 is Weekend Adventure.
And that is
Weekend Adventure.
What is
we would know that from?
Weekend Adventure is a nature show that airs on ABC on the weekends.
No, it doesn't.
And it is the 3rd most watched syndicated program in the U.S.
And we've
not
never
true, sir.
Heard of it.
Weekend Adventure
can't be true.
It is true, and I've actually seen Weekend Adventure.
I don't even know what that is.
It is Weekend
it's on
Adventure.
Early on Saturday, right?
Yes.
And some they're just like walking through forest pointing at things.
No, that's
okay.
What it is at all.
Sounds like a good show.
That would
though.
Be a bad show if that was the case. But I have watched with the little one Weekend Adventure from time to time on ABC. So, but it's 3rd. It's
wow.
crazy.
That's crazy.
That is a lot of people
stunning.
Watching Weekend Adventure, which just sounds generic.
Hmm.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sam Elliott. Oh,
Sam Elliott. Love him so much.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
73 years old today. Melanie Griffith is 60. Eric Bana celebrates his 49th birthday. Thomas Lennon is 47. Gillian Anderson of X-Files fame turns 49. And Anna Kendrick celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, are we looking for the scientific survey people now, or are we waiting for that?
We could probably look for them now, yeah.
Okay, you got to be on hold for a few minutes. If you don't mind doing that and you want to be part of an unbiased jury, we need you to help us settle a discussion we're having here on the Kevin Bean Show. We can't tell you what the topic is because we don't want to prejudice the people who pick up the phone and call. So if you want to be part of a scientific survey here on the Kevin Bean Show, call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll get to you in about 10 minutes on K-Rock.
Everybody ready for the wheel of bad animal voices?
No.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It is Wednesday.
Look, Bean said that we're all going to die in a nuclear holocaust. So what's the point of even
How
carrying
that
on?
For the start of the show?
Let's not carry on with this because we have other things to worry about, okay?
Because this brings us laughter and pleasure and joy in our remaining moments on Earth, Ralph. This is exactly how you want to go out.
No.
All right, here are the stories on the wheel.
I don't think you're listening to me, Kevin.
No, I'm not. The squirrels assaulting people in Brooklyn.
Oh,
that sounds dangerous.
The Australian biting sea fleas.
We talked about them yesterday. Those guys are terrifying.
The Gene Simmons looking calf.
I'm sorry, say it again?
The Gene Simmons looking calf.
Yeah, I'm already tired of that story.
The car stealing, joyriding, pooping bear.
Aren't all bears pooping bears, Kevin, though, really?
Yeah, but do they steal cars?
No, but you mentioned that's fine.
All right.
Carjacking bears, I get, but pooping bears?
I'm just saying.
That's hardly newsworthy, it's all I'm saying.
The union busting goats.
And all goats bust unions. We all know that, too.
And Skyler, the dog surfing champion. Ugh. So those are the stories on the wheel.
I'd like to talk to Skyler.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. It's gonna land.
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
You got a preference here, Allie McKay?
I kind of want the bear.
The bear sounds good. Yeah. It's a good batch. I would love to talk to Skyler the surfing dog, too, but I think I'll be happy with anything today.
Yeah.
The squirrel assaulting people in Brooklyn.
Oh, yay! Wow.
It's a real story.
Yes, it is. Health officials said the possibly rabid rodent, and by the way, just let me say, those are three words you never want to hear when they involve you. Mm-hmm. A possibly rabid rodent has attacked at least 5 people at the park in the last week. This is Prospect Park in Brooklyn, the Parkside and Ocean Avenue entrance of the park. Over 3 days, a squirrel attacked not one person, not two, but 5 people.
And they didn't say squirrels.
No.
It's just one.
Yes.
It's one that's going on a rampage.
It has an unusually aggressive behavior, they're saying. What I love about this story so much, and I'm hoping that Dave has lined up some people that go to the park that we can talk to.
Of course
he has. What I love so much is, for instance, one man interviewed said, I'm not going to sit there and be the victim for some squirrel. Between me and my dog, we can take a squirrel.
Right?
So it's turned into a gang situation
there.
Yeah, it's a turf war. Exactly. So I don't know what's going on with this squirrel. I don't know if he's got rabies. I don't know if he's just ticked off at the humans or what the deal is. But we did ask Dave if he could line somebody up there at Prospect Park in New York, so let's find out who's on the line, please.
Hello.
Who's this?
Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean, yeah. What's that?
It's a radio show in Los Angeles. How are you? Who are we speaking with, please?
My name's Carl.
Hi, Carl. Were you bit by the squirrel?
I wasn't bit by no squirrel. Nobody bites this squirrel. Squirrels bite.
Oh, yes.
You are the squirrel. Oh, I see.
Yeah, now you're getting the picture. Now things are coming into focus for you. Everything's falling into place. You're talking to the squirrel on the phone.
Right. You're pretty quick
on the pickup, you guys.
Could you illuminate us as to what's going on?
Hey, come here. That's right, run, you broad.
What's wrong with you?
Did you just bite a lady?
I did bite a lady.
Oh, no.
Give me your nuts.
What?
I said give me your nuts.
I'm not sure who you're talking to.
I'm talking to you, wise guy.
Well, we're on the phone.
I want your nuts.
Okay, Carl.
I love nuts.
Right. Yes.
I love me some nuts.
Right.
I love nuts.
Right.
I'm a fan of nuts.
Right. Yes, you are.
I'm a nutophile.
Enjoy nuts.
What do you got?
Well, authorities have said that you are unusually aggressive. Why?
That's right. See? I'm unusually aggressive. See? Because usually squirrels run scared, but not this squirrel, see? I'm taking over this park. Hey, come here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, run like a little girl.
Why are you so mad, Carl?
Because they're moving in on my turf. All these yuppies here in Brooklyn with their skinny jeans and their man buns and their Pokemon hunters or whatever they got.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of it, see? This is the only place in nature in Brooklyn is this little park. And I'm keeping this park. You're not coming into my turf, see? Get out of here.
Another one.
That's three people since we've been on the phone with you.
You're a good counter. You're a sharp boy. You're a bright boy. You should be in my organization. I got a room for a smart boy like you.
Do you?
You can count to three. We're all very impressed. Oh, I wish I could bite through a phone.
Why won't an NFL team hire Colin Kaepernick, who was a quarterback in the Super Bowl a few years ago? Is it because of his pro-Castro t-shirts and kneeling during the national anthem and his big ol' afro and his bad attitude? Or is it something else?
Or is it he can't play?
Or is it he can't play? We don't know. We'll find out from the man who will know, Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, coming up in about 20 minutes. Kevin, do you feel like you're going underwater? You're losing the battle here? Do you feel like the public is turning against you and you're starting to worry?
No. No,
really?
I actually heard about the eclipse from somebody else other than you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For the first time, like 2 days ago.
Mm. Oh,
the first time. Now, you've been saying that it's been eclipse fever for...
Okay. Eclipse.
Right. For like 3 weeks.
Yes, it has been eclipse fever. It's all anybody is talking about. It's the biggest event in the history of the world.
When you say it's all anybody's talking about, I'm saying I just heard one person other than you for the first time a couple days ago.
And is it possible they were talking about the lunar eclipse from a couple days ago, not even this one?
That's very possible.
See?
Well, the solar eclipse is happening, as everybody knows, on August 21st, and it's all anybody's talking about. People are making their plans. They're taking off work and school. Lots of our listeners are traveling to get into the path of totality. I got an email from Portland, Oregon at 6:22 a.m. today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning from Portland. It's insane up here with the eclipse. Apparently everyone but Kevin and Ralph are coming to Oregon for this event. Hotels are sold out. Car rentals sold out. Employers are giving their staff the day off so they don't have to drive in the increased traffic. Hospitals and other state agencies are gearing up for all the folks coming to town for the big event. Vats and vats of eclipse classes everywhere you look. Word is out about the eclipse, and you are not alone in your eclipse fever. Tell Ralph and Kevin people are traveling great distances to see these things. Have a good morning, Kate.
Is there a minority of people who are really excited about this? Mm-hmm. Yes, there is.
Sure.
Is it all anyone's talking about?
Mm-mm.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It just isn't.
Not only is it, but I am about to prove it, because we have five listeners on the phone who we invited to call us before they even knew what the topic is. So this is a representation of the general public, not just the people who called and self-selected by calling. And I'm going to prove to you that eclipse fever is real with this edition of Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
That's it.
Okay. That's it.
That's the whole intro.
All right. So we need some ground rules before we go to these. What would qualify in your mind, Kevin, as eclipse fever? That that they've heard of it, that they plan on seeing it, that they plan on traveling, that they already have their glasses? What do you need to prove that they are filled with the eclipse fever?
Eclipse fever is different than people being interested. I mean, it sounds like you're saying that that's all anyone's talking about.
Yeah, their life revolves around this.
And I feel like if the people on hold have seen stuff about the eclipse in 10 or 20 different places, online, on TV, everywhere, wherever they get their, on Twitter, wherever they get their news, then maybe it's eclipse fever.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. I'm saying it's not all anyone's talking about.
What if we allow the listener, the members of the jury that we go to decide for themselves their level of excitement?
Sure.
We can ask them, do you consider that you have eclipse fever?
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Maybe that's the barometer rather than us try to figure it out.
I'm fine with that.
All right.
Right.
Eclipse.
All right. You know how it works. We just take them as they came in.
Ruben is up first, Los Angeles. He is the first member of the jury to address this topic. You have heard the evidence on both sides, Ruben. Would you say that you, sir, have eclipse fever?
I actually haven't heard of it until you guys were mentioning it today on the radio.
But Ruben, it's all anyone is talking about, according to me.
Yeah, and I'm always on Instagram, I'm always on Facebook, I'm always on social media, and I haven't heard of it.
How about Ruben that? Styled in, and he still hasn't heard of it.
Yeah. So I'm going to put him down as a yes, then, for eclipse fever?
No, he's a no.
You're funny, but Ruben is a solid no.
Yeah.
Ruben, you're a no. Am I misunderstanding, or are you actually a no on eclipse fever?
Solid no.
Okay. Solid.
All right. So you're you'll be the exception.
Thank
all right,
you,
that's
Ruben.
Fine.
We appreciate the call.
All right.
All right.
First
who's
time
our...
we heard about it was right now, Bean. But it's who's all our... anyone's talking about.
Who's our next jury member?
Gary in Corona. Hi, Gary.
What's up, party people? How's it going?
Good. Thank you for calling in. Now, just I heard a weird echo there. Confirm you had no idea what the topic was when you dialed the phone this morning, right?
I had no idea what we were going to talk about.
All right. All right. Now that you've heard the evidence, what say you? Eclipse fever? Yes or no?
Well, with all of this evidence, typically I normally would go against whatever Bean says, and I'm sticking with that. No, I'm not feeling.
All right. So we got Ruben and we got Gary, and they're both no's.
Okay, but that doesn't mean anything. Look, you can be down by two runs in the first inning, by the way, but there's still plenty of time to come back and win this game.
Right, but you're still down by two runs.
Right, but what I'm saying is we got Rudy, Melissa, and Art, who are still coming up to bat, and they could easily go my way.
Right. They all three have to go your way for you to win, just so you know.
I'm very confident with my prediction.
All right, Rudy, hi.
Hey, guys, good morning.
Eclipse fever?
Normally, I would have to go against Bean, and like the other guy, screw that. I hate eclipses.
Who hates eclipses?
Rudy!
But wait, that's not the question. The question
is... Watching eclipses is about as exciting as watching a rock grow. They suck.
So do you have eclipse fever?
I think no.
I do not.
Okay. No, Rudy says no.
I'm just going to put him down as hates eclipses, too.
I'd like to go through all five, Bean. I would like, because I think all five are going to say no.
I think
no.
So, yeah. Why not?
I don't know that we need to rub it in at this point.
I mean, 0-3.
It was a bad batch of listeners, though, is what I'm
saying. No, there's no eclipse fever.
Certainly wasn't representative, but I'll allow one more. How about Melissa in Cyprus? Because, you know, she may be reasonable.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hi, Melissa.
Do you have eclipse fever?
So normally I love Bean, and I love everything he says, even though you guys make fun of him.
Right.
But I could care less about eclipses.
All right. Okay, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Once again, I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world today.
That was Kevin and Bean signed.
LNOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
We'll talk NFL, particularly Colin Kaepernick's situation with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up just after 7. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
The question is, now that the scientific survey has been asked and answered.
Oh, good point.
Will you shut the F up about the eclipse?
Because that's the rules of the scientific survey.
Right. That's the true question that was not yet asked.
First of all, eclipse fever.
No, see, the point is to say there is no eclipse fever. People are disinterested.
Yeah.
In your eclipse.
When we do a scientific survey, that is binding. Mm-hmm. So you're no longer allowed to talk about eclipse fever.
Well, that seems short-sighted. I mean, look, I love our listeners.
Are those the rules of the scientific survey?
I appreciate the ones that called in with their comedy answers.
They weren't comedy answers. They were honest answers to an honest question.
They presented them very well in a funny fashion.
Is that the rule of the scientific survey? That it settles it?
So you're saying you're not going to pipe down about this now?
Well, look, whether I talk about eclipse fever or not, eclipse fever is real, and it's there, and it's happening, and it's unavoidable.
See, you're going against the scientific survey. Why did we waste our time with that?
I'm just saying.
Right, we're saying you're supposed to stop saying.
But
because scientific survey.
Yeah, but still.
Good point.
Four people in a row, Bean.
And the fifth, by the way, was asked off air. Also, zero interest.
I assumed, yes.
Yeah, so it was a clean sweep.
He was being funny.
Right? No one was being funny. Everyone was just answering the question.
They were playing along with the bit. All right, Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning. What else is going on?
Lineup of performers for the MTV Video Music Awards starting to come together. It's all going to take place on stage at the Forum in Los Angeles on August 27th. And will be hosted by the lovely Katy Perry, by the way.
Oh, all right. Oh,
yeah. Here is your so far your list of performers. More will be announced soon. But Ed Sheeran is going to come out from under a bridge and eat a billy goat and then perform.
He's not a troll. He's a real life boy.
Fifth Harmony is going to perform. Lord will be there. The Weeknd apparently will be performing. 30 Seconds to Mars, Miley Cyrus, and Shawn Mendes have all confirmed that they're going to take stage and perform at the MTV Video Music Awards this year. So, pretty good lineup so far.
Yeah, they do get big stars. Why do you suppose no one cares about this show anymore?
So everyone cares about the Eclipse, right, and no one cares about the MTV Video Music Awards.
No, but what I'm saying is it used to be a major mainstream blockbuster event, and now I feel like it's just a niche program now. It doesn't get nearly the kind of exposure that it used to. Am I wrong about that? Do you still feel the same heat on the MTV Video Music Awards as you used
to? I do. I feel a lot of anticipation for that event.
You do? Yes. Okay. Well, maybe that's just me, then.
Because of the Moon Man?
Moon Person.
My
Moon
bad.
Person. Right.
Allie,
yeah.
Please.
That's why I'm tuning in to
moon,
see that.
The Moon Person. I want the Moon Person award given out. Yeah. You get the sense that Bean's feelings are facts to him?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
If he's interested in something, it's sweeping the nation.
Yeah.
If he's not interested, then no one cares about anything anymore.
And it also just can't be a 65%, a 70%. It has to be 110% or zero.
Look, I feel like I'm fairly plugged in with
but
pop
I know
culture
you feel
and
that
with the
way
media.
That's, again, the point is that you
but
feel
what I'm
that.
Saying is
there doesn't make it a fact.
There used to be a lot more talk and interest in the MTV Video Music Awards, and I bet if you look at the ratings now versus 5 years ago and certainly versus 10 years ago, I think they would bear me out.
Well, I think that's because there's so many more award shows now, so it kind of takes a little bit of a backseat.
If you look at the ratings for any television event now versus 10 years ago, they're down because there's just more choices and more television to watch.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're with me.
Speaking of television, would you like to see more King of the Hill? Bing, bada ding, 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 ding, bing, bing. Right?
I like that show.
I love that show. It was very funny. Hank Hill and the gang. Fox could be bringing them back.
Soccer was invented by European ladies to keep them busy while their husbands did the cooking.
Right? Hank knows what's up. Dana Walden, Fox chairman, says the network has met with creators Mike Judge and Greg Daniels a couple months ago to talk to them about reviving the series.
Huh.
Given what's going on in the country, I think that they had a point of view about how those characters would respond, she said. Show's been off the air since 2009. Can you believe it's been that long?
I feel like it's not as popular now as it was 10 years ago.
Well, it hasn't been on. Mostly.
Look, I'll check out anything Mike Judge is involved in. I love that dude.
Yeah, but we know this product. This isn't a new thing to check out.
Yeah, it's actually really, really good.
Right, we know it's, right. It's a proven, proven formula.
What I'm saying is I want to see how the quote you attributed to him about seeing how these characters would react in a 2017 world, I'm interested in seeing that as well. I think I'd like that.
All right.
And Fox has indeed picked up another singing competition reality series.
Yes! Finally!
I think they're a little cheesed because they retired American Idol, then that got picked up by ABC with Katy Perry and Ryan Seacrest, and now they feel that they have to get back into the singing competition reality series sweepstakes with their show, The Four.
The Four.
The Four. The Four.
F-O-U-R?
F-O-U-R.
Okay.
In the first episode of The Four, four finalists will be picked for the championship. And then each week, new contestants come in to challenge and try to steal one of their four spots so that they can become the new one of the four, which is 14.
Okay,
so it's like when you're in college and you came in the first day and you sat there and the professor would say, I want everyone to know, everybody in this room has an A right now. You all have an A.
It's yours to lose?
It's yours to chip away at through the course of the series, through the semester, until you get what final grade you deserve. So they're going to pick four winners at the beginning of this show, and then new competitors will come in and try to take their spot, usurp their spot in the four.
Hmm.
That program sounds unnecessary.
It's a singing reality show, so by definition, I think it's unnecessary. But it's going to happen. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anna Kendrick's 32 years old today. Gillian Anderson's 49. Thomas Lennon, funny, funny man, 47 years old today. Eric Bana, 49 years old. It's easy to forget, by the way, in the midst of all this superhero craze, that Eric Bana was originally who, Kevin? What superhero?
The Hulk.
That's right. He was the Hulk.
Really?
Yeah, he really was. All right. He was the original motion picture Hulk. 49 years old today. Melanie Griffith is 60. And Sam Elliott. Oh, Sam Elliott. Anybody see Hero except for me? The new film that just came out?
I did not.
Oh, no. He's so good. He's such a good actor.
But I did see The Big Lebowski again recently, and he's amazing in that.
Yeah, you've got your finger on the pulse for current popular culture. Absolutely. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How much have we missed Andrew Siciliano being on the show?
A lot.
It's been sad and lonely without Andrew from the NFL Network, DirecTV's Red Zone, and the guy who cut all those players on HBO's Hard Knocks last night. Andrew joins us back on the phone on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. I missed you.
We miss you as well. Dude, you shamed the nation with your vacation summertime photos in Iceland. I am telling you, that looked like the greatest vacation ever, sir.
Dude, the entire country looks like it was, like, dreamed up by a drunken George Lucas in his basement playing with CGI. I mean, around every corner, around every bend in a highway, you just look up and go, that can't be real. Yeah. You just feel like the smallest person on Earth, which many people think I am. Whether it's the mountains or the glaciers or the oceans or the black stone beaches or the or getting lowered into a volcano or snorkeling or out of scuba, snorkeling through the continental divide. I can't recommend it enough.
Bean and I had several conversations about whether you were ever going to come back.
Yeah, it looked like you were having too much fun to return to America.
I had a blast and was on the air like at noon the next day after coming back at 6 o'clock at night. I will say this. It is also the home of the $20 appetizer, the $25 burger, and the $40 small entree.
Ouch.
The most expensive food place I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I've been to Iceland, and I loved it, too. You made me want to go back, though. All right, Andrew, so you're back at back in business. You're co-hosting the Inside Training Camp Live, which is going to be at noon on the NFL Network. You have had quite a week and a half. Where have you been so far?
I started in Oxnard with the Cowboys, so basically there at home. Then I went to Mankato, Minnesota for 2 days with the Vikings. Then I had a flight canceled. Somehow ended up in Philadelphia 1 day for the Eagles. Then Latrobe, Pennsylvania, 2 days for the Steelers. Then Foxborough with the Patriots. Then the Jets, the Giants, the Hall of Fame for 2 days. Back home for my parents' anniversary in Virginia for 24 hours. Patriots, Jaguars yesterday in Foxborough. And today I'm in Charlotte. We have Panthers, Texans tonight on NFL Network, and we'll be doing a four-hour show from the field before the game. And then I'll come home tonight and see the Rams tomorrow at Irvine.
Good Lord.
Wow, you're trying to kill yourself. Take
what
it easy.
Schedule. Well, listen, Andrew, we wanted to catch up with you and say hi, and we're so pumped that the season is so close now. But we also wanted to get your take because you travel a lot and you talk to a lot of people in and out of the league. And there are so many varied opinions on whether Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed or not for his off-the-field activities, or is he just not a good enough quarterback and no team wants to hire him for that reason, and we're trying to get a bead on what's real here.
I think the answer may be somewhere in between. I think blackball is a difficult one because then you're implying that I don't like his political views and therefore he cannot be employed. I think it's somewhere along the lines of, well, do I want to deal with the associated headaches. I know that sounds like a cop-out, right?
Well, I think any team does, any team that would have him play quarterback for them would have to deal with that. That's a real concern.
And do you, whether it's the coach, the general manager, or the owner, because let's face it, if Kaepernick is getting signed, it will be an organizational ownership-level decision.
Right.
Do you want to deal with all of that? Let's take the protest, for example, which Spike Lee obviously, raised eyebrows, tweeted that thing out yesterday. By the way, did anyone notice that Kaepernick's name is misspelled in the flyer?
Yes. Yes, did notice.
Yes, we did. That was unfortunate. And is referring to a protest out in front of the NFL headquarters in New York City tomorrow night from people who think that he is being blackballed and possibly for, because of racist owners.
And that may be a step too far.
That is a huge step, and I would not go that far. Let's say, first of all, they have the right to protest free country. This was done a couple of months ago as well, I believe back in March, May, whatever it was. So go ahead and protest. I respect and defend your right to protest. But let's take the step further. Hypothetically, and you may laugh at me, let's say a team does sign Colin Kaepernick and it's midseason, and the team is, let's say, 3-5, and the starting quarterback threw 5 interceptions. Are we going to have protests outside the building that he isn't starting? And again, that's way down the line. But those are the questions, whether they're right or wrong, that coaches, that organizations ask themselves.
So it's almost like
they've gotten so big that we just don't want to deal with it because it's not worth the trouble. He is good enough to play. He should have a job. Let's be clear on that. All right? He has had a lot of bad quarterback play on tape the last 2 years, but he played well enough last year down the stretch. He deserves to have a job. We can agree on that.
Andrew, you're too young to have lived through it, but as a guy who loves sports and knows so much about sports, I mean, is this different than what Muhammad Ali went through and what Jim Brown went through and what Bill Russell went through and others who had very public statements about the world off the field and they had to deal with it? Is it just trial by fire if that's how you choose to be?
Well, I mean, I see certainly the parallels, but I would also say that specifically with Ali, I mean, we were at war, all right? And we were also dealing with a draft. We were dealing with plenty of young Americans, my father included, who had to put their lives on hold because they were drafted and
right.
had to take up arms because they decided that they would answer the call and serve their country. That was an entirely different thing. You know, Muhammad Ali decided to not do that. Whether, you know, history now looks back upon it fondly, but you can't understand why, at the time, those who did get drafted, who did serve, their families who watched their sons go off to war, how they would feel very passionately that
Certainly.
He should have done the same.
Right.
I think it's a lot different.
But it also smacks of such hypocrisy when you've got the same owners that will turn a blind eye to domestic abusers, to alleged rapists, to men on their team that they stand up for and give second, third chances to, that say they don't want this on their team. It's just too much for them. It's insanity.
Know, but Allie, I don't think, I'm going to sound like I'm blindly defending owners. I don't think it's necessarily owners saying, I disagree with his stance, therefore I will not employ him. I think
really?
They want to, yes. Are there some? I'm sure there are. Absolutely.
Okay.
But, I mean, there's 32. I mean, so there's always got to be one or two. Go back to what John Mara said. And by the way, these are my views and my views only. Go back to what John Mara, the Giants owner, said a couple of months ago when he took all this heat. What he said was, I have gotten more emails, letters, phone calls about this topic than I have on any other topic. And he got ripped in the press because people read it as, well, I don't want to handle this guy. I don't want to deal with this guy. What he was saying was that the reaction was stronger, that the public discourse was louder than any other story. And that's what they want to avoid. It doesn't mean that they want to give this guy a second chance and not that guy a second chance. It's that they want to avoid the noise and everything associated with it.
I find it hard to believe that you're going to let Josh Brown, the kicker, who they knew full well had abused his wife, that noise, even if it's just the noise amongst them, was quieter.
There wasn't noise at the time. It's about public discourse. There's one thing we can agree on. This is a hot-button issue. Listen, you can defend Colin Kaepernick's right to protest, all right, his right to free speech, and at the same time say, I disagree with his opinion, and I don't want to patronize the businesses that do business with him.
Right.
I mean, those things are not mutually exclusive. And I think that's where this story goes sideways. People believe that if you defend his right to free speech, that therefore you must embrace everything that he says.
Right. You can have free speech, but there are also consequences with it. Look, we're almost out of time. Our friend Andrew Siciliano on the line from the NFL Network. I just want to ask one more thing, Andrew, and that is I think for a lot of people, seeing Jay Cutler,
who most of us don't think is a very good quarterback, get $10 million to go to the Dolphins while Colin Kaepernick is still sitting at home. I think that was like, it felt like the last straw in this story for a lot of people,
well,
don't you?
I would say this. Go back and look at what Jay Cutler did a couple of years ago when Adam Gase was his coach in Chicago. He had by far his best season. So he can step in there seamlessly. Now, he might throw five interceptions the first week and everyone's going to scream again. But he could step in there seamlessly and speak the language. We're a couple of weeks into training camp.
Right.
At this point, I don't want to say the ship has sailed for Colin Kaepernick, but no one's bringing a guy in halfway through a training camp and trying to get him up to speed to make the team week one. He is going to get a job when somebody gets injured. I thought it could have been Baltimore, but turns out Joe Flacco's back injury is not nearly as bad as it sounded at first.
You think he will play this season?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there, man. A fascinating topic. We always enjoy hearing from you. Inside the Training Camp Live, you're going to be in Charlotte today, and you got a game on the NFL Network tonight, it sounds like.
We do. We have the Panthers and Texans on tonight, and then, as I said, back inside the coffee shop now. Yours truly, Marshall Falk, and our whole crew on CBS2 in L.A. on Saturday, our first Rams preseason game against the Cowboys.
All right. Oh, super fun. Well, we look forward to talking to you a lot during the season, Andrew. Thanks so much for checking in today, dude.
You got it, guys.
Appreciate it. Hey, John Moore from Hacienda Heights just won the Killers tickets for that show coming up February 1st, right around the corner, you guys.
February 1st.
Staples Center. He's also qualified to be the man. That means John's in the grand prize drawing for tickets for him and five of his friends, his own dressing room, gets to hang out with the band, lots of free merch, and a Sherford SUV to the show. It's a pretty good deal right there. KRock.com for another chance to win.
So, Bean was on fire yesterday.
He's been on fire for weeks.
Look, let's face it. We make fun of Bean too much sometimes, but he won't allow us not to.
Right? That's always my point.
Why do you say that?
Just back off a little bit. We could all rest. We could all have a rest.
Back off from what? From being right all the time?
Just give us a break so that we don't have to pile on. Don't you. Be so aggressively insane. Give us some time off.
We want to not make fun of you,
we would
but it's
like
not
the
possible.
Rest.
I didn't do anything. This time, though, you guys are in the wrong, and you guys are clearly just siding with the bad doctor's office instead of with me, who's the only one making any goddamn sense here just because you want to make fun of me. Let me tell you what happened.
Please.
Okay. And, Allie, you were out yesterday, so right? So you probably haven't heard this story.
No, it was 2 days ago. You brought it up in the meeting. I was there.
All right. So I scheduled a doctor's appointment.
Right.
By the way, sidebar, I went to that doctor's appointment yesterday. My blood pressure is 102 over 56.
You're almost dead.
Am I alive? Should I be concerned at this point?
That's why you faint every time you stand up, because your blood's not being pumped anywhere.
So I had an appointment on the calendar.
You're not healthy, by the way.
Right. I'm the healthiest man in the world.
Unhealthy.
And the doctor's office called back and left a voicemail message on my cell phone. Hey, this is Dr. So-and-so calling to remind you that you have an appointment on Tuesday at 1:45. Okay, so far, great.
Okay.
I appreciate the reminder. I hadn't forgotten. I knew I was going, but I understand why they would call. But then the voicemail message continued and said, please call us back and let us know that you received this message.
Right.
To which I say, no.
What?
F you. Now you're wasting my time.
Wasting your time. It's a
10-second
phone call.
Tops.
Because now I have to make a call back to talk to somebody else to confirm the appointment that I made.
How much of
I
a
know
chore,
I have an appointment.
How much of a chore is that, though?
It's not a chore at all.
It's more of a chore than should be expected.
No,
it's more of a chore than I deserve.
Confirmation demands an acknowledgement by both parties. That's what confirmation is.
Yeah, they don't know that you got
the
message. If
they put a message into the ether, they don't know that you've received that, and then that appointment has been confirmed.
I think that when I called and made the appointment and gave them my telephone number that they could leave a message on, I think that's my confirmation.
No, but it isn't. That's your making an appointment. That's all that is.
That's yours, but it's not theirs. They need to know
that. Everybody does that. Everybody who makes an appointment does that. They call, they make an appointment, they leave their phone number. What percentage of people you think forget or don't show up for those appointments?
I got no problem with them.
Enough of an amount that they have to confirm.
I got no problem with them calling to remind me of the appointment, but it's not like they put a note in a balloon and let it go in the air and hoped that it would get to me. They left a voicemail on my cell phone. I think there's more than a reasonable expectation that I am going to receive a message that's left on my own cell phone.
You know how they guarantee that you receive that message?
By him confirming.
By having you call back to confirm.
It's just
no
it's
questions. 100% accuracy in that account. That's it's sure they're absolutely positive that you got it.
It's too many steps, you guys.
It's okay,
it's too many steps.
Let me
talk you through it. You pick up the phone, you dial, you go, this is Bean, I'll be there. Thanks, bye.
Thank you so much, yeah. Mr. Baxter, for confirming.
Now I've got to talk to another person,
seconds.
Though.
That's 6 seconds.
Look. Is it talking to a human being that bothers you? Is that what that's where the hiccup is?
Well, I don't think anybody wants to talk to a human. But what I'm saying is I don't have any problem with them. Look, it's on me. If I miss that message, it's on me if I forget about that appointment. It's on me if I double booked or if I get into a car accident or anything else that's on me. If I miss that appointment, they are more than willing to charge me for that appointment. Allowed to charge me for that appointment, and I deserved it. I earned it. I'm not trying to waste their time. I understand they've got a business to run, too. But they don't make me jump through hoops to go to an appointment that I schedule.
It's not a hoop. It's a phone call.
Define jump through hoops.
I don't like it.
How can this be such a problem for you? Why can this be the spanner in the works for you that makes you spin out?
It's weird. How many people don't confirm and then say, I never got that voicemail.
You
can't charge me.
It's their way of covering their butt.
It is on them, but guess what? It's a headache to the people there that then have to deal with that person that says, I didn't get a voicemail. Yeah, you did. You just chose not to come.
Just follow the rules. Just do what they ask.
Look, I'm a responsible person who made an appointment
they
and is going to show
you.
Up at the appointment.
They don't know what your responsibility level is from a 1 to 10. Are you a 7? Are you a 4? Just return the goddamn phone call.
I think one of you had the best idea earlier this morning, which is that I should call them back, but after business hours, I'll leave a voicemail for them confirming my appointment, but that I need them to call me back to confirm that they received my voicemail to confirm the appointment.
Yeah, let's just make teach it. A, yeah. Let's just make. Let's screw them. Let's punish the office of the doctor who's
let's
trying
just make
to heal people.
A never-ending volley of nonsense.
Let's start sort of weird message war.
They started the message war by asking me to call them back.
Period. End of discussion. It would take 8 seconds
How
of their life.
How dare they try to do their job in an efficient way? I'm going to punish them by leaving a series of messages. Even though I don't want to make one phone call, I'll make 8 because I'm going to teach them something. Because I'm a lunatic.
Nope.
Guys, I think we missed an opportunity, you know, with all this North Korea stuff going on right now.
Right.
If Anthony Scaramucci were still the White House Director of Communications, wouldn't it be awesome to hear how he handled this?
That's the guy that was employed for 10 days or 11 days?
Yes. Don't you want him to be the face of this crisis? Anthony Scaramucci getting up there saying what he says? Well, we reported last week, and we have an update for you here in a moment. A major Hollywood producer, TMZ says, was interested in turning Anthony Scaramucci, who was, as Kevin mentioned, was the White House Director of Communications for just 10 days, talking about turning it into a television show or a movie. Apparently, it's in the works. They're going to try to turn that 10 days into a television show or a movie, which I don't see. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. I don't see how that's possible. Look, it was a very dramatic 10 days, and there was a lot of stuff that happened. But I don't know that it's a TV show or a movie that anyone's interested in.
Now, do you remember when we were going through that top 10 list of comedians and we didn't know Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yeah, yes. He was like the top 10 highest earner, and none of us had heard of him.
And we were like, who's that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is him.
I went to Chipotle a couple weeks ago. Love Chipotle. They make a really nice burrito over there. It's so terrific that the employees can't stop eating it. The employees are never working. They're always in the dining room eating. You ever walk in there, you're like, where are the workers? The only guy behind there is the guy cutting chicken, just looking at you. Right? He's not trained on burrito building.
So they're talking about that guy playing Scaramucci.
Anthony Scaramucci.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Sebastian Maniscalco, who, by the way, does that special brand of comedy without being funny. That's his deal. That's his specialty. But apparently $15 million worth of gigs last year to put on the top 10 Forbes comedian list. So that's how these two stories dovetail. Make it a movie or TV show about Anthony Scaramucci. Maybe Sebastian Maniscalco will be playing him. I don't know anything about the story, but I do know a guy who knows because he is our favorite Italian American comedian, and he is Louis Spumoni, who joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Louis, how are you, man?
I can't believe
guys are talking to this guy about the movie.
Well, I figured you would have an opinion on this because this is kind of right in your wheelhouse. I mean,
I can't believe that they're talking to him about doing the movie. I should be the guy playing the movie.
Oh, you should be the guy.
Yeah. I've been doing all the research for this guy. I know so much about Anthony Scaramucci. I've been doing the research. I want to play him so bad.
So what do you bring to the role then? What do you make of Mr. Scaramucci?
I know everything about this guy. I know, I followed everything. I know what he wears. I know what he eats. I know how he buys his movie tickets.
What?
I said to him, I said, Scaramucci, do you use the Fandango?
Louie. Oh,
that's what I'm talking about. I should be playing this game with this.
And that means it's Ralph Garman time with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on today, sir?
I think we got to get Louis Spumoni to do April Foolishness,
right?
He's got to open April Foolishness.
Agreed.
He needs a break. I feel bad for him. He can't get any work.
Well, another guy comes out with a similar act who just gets there first and kind of steals your thunder. I understand where he's coming from.
I don't blame him for being cheesed off. Glenn Campbell's passed away. For those of you who don't know his work, aren't familiar with his work, it's understandable. His biggest hits were in the 60s and 70s. But he was sort of a legend amongst musicians because initially he started off as being a master guitarist playing in a legendary session group called the Wrecking Crew. And they used to back up a ton of musicians and artists by coming in and just crushing recording sessions. They would be the band behind Frank Sinatra, for example, or the Beach Boys. I mean, they were awesome. And eventually he went on to a solo career where he started singing as well, and then he had a bunch of hits in the 60s, like By the Time I Get to Phoenix and Wichita Lineman and Galveston. And then the 70s, Rhinestone Cowboy is probably one of his biggest hits, Southern Nights. And so a lot of musicians are paying tribute to him as they celebrate the life of Glenn Campbell, who passed away at the age of 81. The one that stood out to me and really surprised and shocked me was Radiohead's cover of Rhinestone Cowboy.
I'm sorry?
You heard me.
Radiohead. Radiohead did a cover of Rhinestone Cowboy?
Of Glenn Campbell's Rhinestone Cowboy.
What?
A recording has surfaced of this cover. Originally, it was released in 2009. This is a very young Radiohead. Apparently, this was something they would do back in the 90s, even before Pablo Honey was officially released. This was like one of their staples of their live show. So here's a little taste of Radiohead doing the Glenn Campbell hit Rhinestone Cowboy.
Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a spot-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy.
What? Here's Tom York singing Rhinestone Cowboy.
I don't hate it.
That's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
They have always done some weird songs. They had a cover of Nobody Does It Better at one time that they recorded as well, by the way. It's just, you never know what they're into.
That or some tubes warming up and some wires being touched. They stopped doing songs a while ago, didn't they?
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, you want some more Twin Peaks? Yes, please. Showtime talking to David Lynch about another season of Twin Peaks, The Return. Oh, yeah. So good. So weird. I think they need another season because not really telling much of a story in this particular one. I'd like them to wrap up some details. Now, the season is still going on, so we don't know how it's going to end, but it looks like Showtime is asking David Lynch if he'd be willing to do yet another season of Twin Peaks.
Ralph, the last time we discussed this on the air, I expressed my frustration with how slow it was and how weird for the sake of weird it was being and not really going anywhere, doing anything. And you were still all in and loving the hell out of it.
Yes.
Still,
Dougie Jones.
Dougie is the worst character, perhaps, in the history of television. Perhaps. Yeah. I don't mean to overstate it.
No, you don't. That's not
overstating
it. Your way.
Every second he's on that screen, I get cancer. Now, you are still 100% enjoying it?
108% enjoying it.
Wow. It's gone up now.
It's going up now. It's gone over 100%.
If it wasn't David Lynch doing it, would you still enjoy it as much?
Ooh, good question.
I think I would.
Okay.
Because it's really artfully done and sort of inspired lunacy.
Okay.
And I think if I just ran across that, I'd be like, wow, who is this person? They're doing really interesting stuff. Huh. The bonus for me is you also get to see all your old friends from the original series as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I love David Lynch. I love him.
Oh, we can tell.
But I've just...
By the fact
I'm
you
just,
said his TV show gives you cancer.
I've just...
that's how much you love him.
But then he doesn't want to overstate it.
Right.
I'm just saying there are times where nothing happens for minutes at a time. You just watch a guy walk or dig or sit. You know what I mean? Just minute
yes.
after minute after minute. And I have trouble getting into that pace.
That's not surprising.
I mean... A little forward movement. That's all.
Bean loves
I love
action.
Character development.
Bean does love just, action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no time for shenanigans,
yeah.
really. Just he has to be constant influx of information or else he feels like he's wasting his time. He can't make a phone call back to a doctor's office, let alone sit there and watch Mrs. Palmer watch a clip from a boxing match over and over again while she drinks Bloody Marys and smokes.
But for no reason, though.
But it's awesome.
But for no reason.
But it is for every reason. She has been watching nothing but horrendously violent television for the entire season because she's completely tapped into whatever dark forces killed her daughter, Laura.
Yeah.
She's been watching lions decimate gazelles on a loop. She's been watching a brutal boxing match on a loop. She is absorbing and doing nothing but witnessing violence over and over again as she sits sequestered in her home.
Is it possible, Bean, that the pacing of it is just not up to everything else that we watch? Because I know that would be true for me.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course that's part of the problem.
I mean, it's intentionally slow TV.
Right.
Intentionally.
But we also live in an accelerated world when it comes to how we take in our entertainment now.
Yeah,
it's all clips on YouTube, and it's constant visual editing, and we live in a culture now that has been sped up,
and just the highlights, that's all you ever watch.
That I think anything. it seems even more out of place because of its pacing and its editing, which is one of the things that I love about it.
And how do we get on this topic? Oh, you were saying they might make more.
Showtime is asking. CEO of Showtime, David Nevins, has asked David Lynch and company if he would return and do yet another season. So we have to wait and see. No one? All right, it's just me. And Montel Jordan. You like Montel Jordan, right? This is how we do it? That's
sure.
That's a great song.
Sure.
There was a guy named Ryan DeLuca. He's an internet mogul. He and his wife, Nelia, for their wedding. You know, this is a very popular thing now. Bride and groom will put extensive time and energy into a dance routine
mm-hmm.
to perform in front of their guests at their wedding.
I find that annoying at times.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I really think, look, it's not... Isn't this enough about you this day?
We're
not paying enough attention to you as we all stare at you all night long. Now you need to put on a performance?
That's why I like to do it at weddings. Just take the onus off of them. Just
look at me instead. Allie shows up in a white dress and just starts dancing to choreographed routine. Anyway, they did this choreographed routine to Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It for them.
This is how we do it.
But how can you take that and turn it into an even more look-at-me moment? Well, you hire the real Montel Jordan to come and sing the song live while you dance to it.
All right.
So you're making Montel Jordan be your backup band, basically, for your dance routine.
So you want to dance while I sing?
Do your song, but we're not going to really pay attention to you doing the song. Everybody's going to be looking at us while we do our choreographed dance to your song. So he did it. He flew from Rome to Vegas.
I mean, there's not a lot of work for him.
Then hopped a plane to Boise.
I mean, he needed the $50.
Hopped a plane to Boise for the reception.
Boise.
Yeah. What do you think he made? What do you think he made for the gig, for one song, doing his hit?
$129.
Oh.
And a bag of peanuts. No, 10 grand. Walked away with 10 grand.
Okay.
I mean, it's 10 grand.
10 grand's 10 grand, right?
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Right?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sam Elliott, 73 years old. Melody Griffith is 60. Eric Bana, 49 years old. Thomas Lennon is 47. Gillian Anderson's 49.
Anna Kendrick celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, we've been working together a long time, and you have often accused me of exaggeration.
Well, you do take things to the absolute 120% every time. It's either 120% or minus 20. There's nothing between 0 and 100.
All I'm saying is this is probably the last Kevin Abid show ever because nuclear war begins at noon today thanks to America versus North Korea. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to overstate it, but I'm saying that's what it looks like to me.
That's how you started the show this morning.
But I don't want to work people up into a needless frenzy if I'm misreading the situation, if it can be avoided and we can live another day. So I thought we'd bring in a guy that we from time to time rely on as our military correspondent. He is the host of the Dark Secret Place podcast. He is a war veteran, a Purple Heart winner, in fact. Did they call you winners
it's
or
recipients?
Purple Heart recipient would probably be more appropriate, right?
Yeah, you don't win it. You just stand there. It's called the Enemy Marksmanship Badge.
Okay. All right. So, Brian, we wanted to have you on because, you have studied war your whole life and are very invested in politics and the way things work. And you know a lot about the geopolitical situations far more than we do. How alarmed should we be by the president's bluster last night about the fire and the fury and the power that the world has never seen? Break it down for us.
On the continuum where you have on the far left, you have full Kevin, which is just a blind unwillingness to accept the reality that you may die in a nuclear explosion later on today.
Head in the sand, right?
Yeah, or you have full Bean, which is a constant gray cloud over you. If it's not one thing, it's another. And this week, it's North Korea. It's slightly closer to full Bean. Because there are parallel programs of missile and warhead development have finally come together. And people like me who've been saying, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be a thing. It's finally a thing. And when the blinding flash comes, at least I'll be able to say, I told you so.
I told you so. Okay, but we've been at loggerheads with North Korea through many, many administrations, and obviously there's been a lot of diplomacy that has been attempted, and president after president says, look, I'm not going to allow North Korea to get to this point where they can deliver a nuclear warhead to the United States. Well, we've been saying that for so long. What options do we have if they get to the point where now they can do that? What can we do?
Well, they've been saying, misusing the word unacceptable, since the Clinton administration. So Republicans and Democrats are equally guilty of kicking this can down the road. Now that we have to assume the worst, that they have weaponized intercontinental ballistic missiles, there's a couple options. Option one, we surrender immediately today. and someone out there is going to propose that, but that's the Bernie Sanders option. Option two is to acknowledge that, they have nuclear weapons and then remind them, if you use them, you're committing suicide. But then that brings up the fact that part of their national myth in North Korea is, in fact, that it is their destiny to reunify the Korean Peninsula because they are the most beautiful, homogenous, pure race on Earth, and it is their destiny to do this whether they die in a fiery flash or not. And, I mean, option three is the worst one, which is we get kinetic and we use force to remove the nuclear weapons because that simply guarantees that South Korea ceases to exist for a decade because they're the seventh largest economy in the world. I'm wearing South Korea on this wrist. I'm typing I'm watching a South Korean TV. That economy, all that money disappears. LG, Samsung, Hyundai, Kia, all that. And wow. The North Koreans know that. So option three is a bad option.
Okay. How close are we to option three, though?
Closer than option one, where we surrender.
Okay.
And take all American troops out of South Korea and all that. So
it's been very difficult to get a read on how much is bluster, how much is trying to create a legend, and how much is actual real talk out of the leader, the Kim Jong-un from South Korea. Is he likely to drop a bomb because he's just crazy enough to do it, or is he blustery?
Well, he is blustery. That's in their DNA. For three generations, all the Kims have done this thing where they just absolutely, you will die a peasant's death and all that. They didn't exaggerate in Team America, about the way they speak. I mean, they could take that verbatim from his speeches. And what was interesting last night was Trump said something that has a direct, accurate translation into Korean. When he said fire and fury, there's a reason he said that. It translated directly. Now, the North Koreans didn't turn around and say, bloated mango Mussolini, you'll have two sunrises and they didn't up the ante on that. which means that maybe he is speaking in a language that they understand, but it's misinterpreted here in the West, because we words mean something here. You know, they're this everything you're seeing in North Korea, this is par for the course. They've been doing it for 60 years. They're pros at it. Only the difference is now they can send a nuclear bomb, nuclear weapon on a missile to San Pedro.
That seems like a big difference.
It does. Yeah, I think that's worth mentioning. Why Guam? Why are they threatening poor little Guam?
Guam, gained in the Spanish-American War, is the site of two U.S. bases, and we've been making a big point about flying B-2s and B-1s off of Anderson Air Force Base to South Korea and back, doing these practice strikes, these practice missions. And so the North Koreans have always mentioned Okinawa and Guam, where, you know, as the seat of the lazy capitalists, and that they will burn it to a cinder and the whole thing. And Guam is a very, very convenient, quick strike target. And so that's why they mentioned that, because we've been making a big deal of flying missions off of Guam. And so the North Koreans have to respond like that.
And Guam is ours, right? I mean, if they attack Guam, they're attacking America.
Yeah, Guam is a U.S. territory gained in the Spanish-American War. It's a funny story, but we don't have time for that.
No, we don't. No, we definitely don't. All right, we're almost out of time. We're talking to our friend Brian Suits from the Dark Secret Place podcast. You can also hear him weekends on KFI. And I wanted to ask you this, because I talked to my dad last night, who is a lifelong military and Department of Defense guy. And he's concerned about this, but he's also confident in the power of diplomacy. He thinks he likes Rex Tillerson. He thinks there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of, a lot of diplomacy. He feels like China and Japan have to be on our side and they will help with this. He says don't sweat it. Is he wrong?
I think he's a little overconfident in this, because people who are putting too much in China's lap, like Trump is, are unaware that China is very embarrassed by the fact that North Korea cut them off. North Korea dumped them a couple of years ago when Kim Jong-un killed his older brother, you know, that girl wearing the LOL t-shirt in the Kuala Lumpur, who poisoned him. He's cut off all of his ties to China, his own uncle, his own cousin, and his older brother. And he said to China, it's not you, it's me. Let's just move on and see other people, see other communist dictatorships, and let's move on. So the Chinese really are not as influential as we think. What the Chinese have done is very quietly gone to Kim and said, hey, we're not on your crap list, are we? And he said, no. And he said, okay, then all right. Well, you know, stay cool, you know, and all that. And so that's why the Chinese are like, yeah, cut your own deal. We have a deal with the guy.
All right. Last question. Is this something that is likely to be a standoff that is resolved within a few days, like a Bay of Pigs type situation? Or is this the new reality and we're going to have at this tension level in a year and in 5 years?
I honestly think that Kim Jong-un cannot back down, or else he will lose legitimacy as the sun god of North Korea, which is what he is. And I have a very dire feeling about the end of August and if you're a South Korean, you know what you're going to be. There's no more K-pop. I don't think this ends well.
Oh, no.
I think
don't take away my boy bands. Come on, Brian.
Yeah, you still have 21, though. 2NE1. They're the best. And they're currently on tour, so they're not in South Korea. But I don't think it ends well. I don't think we're managing it well. And this is like walking into a tiger cage and saying, hey, you know, let me teach you ping pong. You know, the tiger doesn't want to play ping pong. He wants to be a tiger.
All right. That's not the happy note we were hoping to leave the conversation on, but we appreciate your expertise as always. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin DeBede Show.
I can't lie to you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBede Show at 8:53.
Kevin, you ready? You ready for Susan? You ready for CatCon talk?
Yeah. Are you ready for some CatCon?
But I'm sure it's all clawsome.
Rare.
Oh,
Rare.
We'll talk CatCon coming to Southern California this weekend with our guest, Susan Michaels, right after the top of the hour. Ralph's here now. Time for the show. He's been on a Wednesday. Good morning, sir.
I just really quickly want to thank Philly's Best for the Breakfast of Champions that they delivered this morning.
Was pretty strong.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
I just need a nap.
You sound a little lethargic.
After a cheesesteak and a black cherry Vishniac and a couple boxes of tasty cakes, some Wise chips, you just need to lay down. But there's no way I'm being nuked without a cheesesteak in my belly. That's the way I look at it.
Right? Because we're all going to die tonight?
I'm going out with a cheesesteak.
Philadelphia, hello.
Hello. That was an American wit. I haven't had American wit in a while.
What's an American wit?
some American cheese with onions.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome, Ralph.
I don't speak Pennsylvania.
The language of
it's my John.
The gods. That is her John.
Philadelphia, period. I've been saying that my whole life. Right? I'll be saying it until the day I die. Philadelphia.
I will fight you.
Oh, you're wearing your Jim's Steaks hat.
I am.
Aw.
Philly's best. Next best thing to Jim's. You want to be at a concert. Let's say you're going to see Talica in Glendale, Arizona.
Stop saying Talica.
You're at Talica in Glendale, Arizona.
Right? I mean, that's how they say it. So,
and you're there with your wife and your 10-year-old daughter. And you're watching the show, right? And then suddenly you feel this warm liquid washing over your back and your legs.
Oh, no.
Holy crap, I am peeing my pants.
What do you not want to see when you turn around and look into the row behind you?
With an empty beer, I'm hoping.
I'm guessing you don't want to see 44-year-old Daniel Daddio.
Oh, no.
Who was there with his pants down.
Oh, Ralph.
Oh, no.
Who had relieved himself all over the family.
No.
I like warm pee.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
Was it pee?
No, Allie, his pants were down, and it was warm liquid all over them. But oddly enough, it was hot chocolate that he had brought in from the concession stand.
I thought he might have really liked a song.
Okay, I'm trying to track this one.
It's getting worse and worse.
Right? That's what I thought. Sorry.
How is he
still into that whole pee thing, huh?
How is he going to, with a man, his wife, and the 10-year-old daughter, how does everyone
get covered?
Yes.
It's a great question. It's definitely pee then.
All right. I think that was
established that really
established early, right?
The dad confronted Daniel. But apparently he just shrugged and walked away. He was charged with disorderly conduct and indecent exposure when police arrived on the scene and took him away. Police say, wait for it, alcohol was probably a factor.
What?
Yes. Stop. Believe it or not.
That makes no sense.
Is it time for concert disasters?
No.
On the Kevin and Bean Show? Maybe you saw a guy.
I will pay for the legal fees, I promise.
Maybe you saw a guy put a laser pointer into Hootie's eyes at a concert or something. Maybe you saw that sort of rude behavior.
Bean's
Who just drops his pants and relieves himself at a concert?
That has to be way drunk, right?
Yeah, that's
Beyond.
Blackout.
Yeah,
that's
blackout drunk.
Past, yeah.
Oof. Talica can't be happy with that, right?
Metallica. We call just him Metallica.
Who does?
Everyone but Lars.
Well, I think.
I mean,
maybe,
Lars is part of the.
He's the definitive.
Right, but I defer to the other three guys in the band who know what the name of the band is. Lars gone bye bye.
I'm happy to call him Metallica as well.
Yeah, I think it's better. Kevin was starting to say while you were on the topic of concert disasters. If we do that,
yes.
we all remember my wife's hair catching fire at a Kiss concert.
All His right. wife's hair caught on fire.
Yeah,
and. Bean put it out, and they stood there and just watched the show.
Oh, of course.
So you know how you put it out? Pee.
Greatest pain in the world.
I think. Is that right?
I don't think it was pee that time.
No, it wasn't.
He's like,
fire must cleanse us.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm a sprinkler. Bean said. I'm hot. He's hot. Ready for another streaming service? I'm glad we're getting another streaming service. This is a good idea. Good idea, more streaming services.
I
would like to pay
idea.
Everyone independently for every piece of video that I watch.
Thank you, Ralph, for saying that, because wasn't the whole point of cutting the cord that we were supposed to save money by not having to pay for cable anymore? But now it seems like the replacement for that is having to pay 20 other people for content.
Big story yesterday, Disney announced it's pulling its movies off of Netflix. Because it's starting its own streaming service.
I mean, they can probably pull that off, right?
Let me tell you something.
Absolutely.
It's not until you have a child you realize how much you lean on Disney.
Yeah.
For not just their movies, but all of their television content, all the good stuff that they do. I mean, they really are a great resource for parents in terms of family entertainment that your kids can watch and you can feel safe about. So if anybody can pull it off, it's absolutely Disney.
So yeah, that makes more sense than CBS or anybody having the standalone service. Absolutely.
Now, wisely, Disney is also launching an ESPN streaming service, which will have about 10,000 sporting events each year, including pro baseball, hockey, tennis, and soccer, as well as collegiate sports. So, literally, people are starting to break off into these boutique streaming services for content that you're just interested in.
Ralph Valley has her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. It's radio, so I didn't see you.
That means, like, Daredevil and Marvel and all that, right?
That's a great question.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I don't believe so, no, because that is a deal they made separately with Netflix for the production of those characters. I think this is established Disney.
No, but I think what Ali's asking is, what about the Avengers? What about Iron Man? What about those types of movies? Are they going to be pulled as well?
Well, that's,
and be available only on Disney?
That's Marvel.
Marvel, yeah.
I thought Disney owned Marvel, sorry.
They do, but they're under the same umbrella. But we're talking about Disney
content.
But
it's a separate thing. Okay, so we're not talking about Star Wars, we're talking about Cinderella. Gotcha.
Why are you muddying the waters?
Daredevil is a Netflix show.
But it's a Netflix production in conjunction with Netflix. But Netflix is the producer and distributor of that show. They worked out a licensing agreement with the character, and they produced that show for Netflix.
I hope you're right, Ralph.
I am right. I don't have to hope about it.
I hope you are.
I don't hope.
Just really nervous
about it. Just
accept
the rightness.
I love Daredevil. I look forward to it on Netflix.
I'm going to take a recess right now because I'm so mad at both of you guys. I'm about to hold both of you in contempt.
Why is everyone insane?
But originally it was a good question.
No.
A little bit?
Not originally. Originally it was 30 seconds ago.
Tiny bit.
I'm going to go get another cheese stick. I don't want to make sense out of this world anymore. Today's celebrity birthday is Sam Elliott, 73 years old today. Melanie Griffith turned 60 years old. Eric Bana, 49.
Oh, what a fine actor he is.
Okay.
Seriously, Chopper, one of the best movies ever.
What?
Chopper with Mark Chopper Reed, notorious killer.
Did you say Chopper was one of the best movies of all time?
Yep, sure did. Chopper. That's how they say it.
I was thinking of Munich when I said that.
Mm. Yeah, he was great in that too, but Chopper is much better than that.
I was going to say, watch Chopper and you'll be changed.
Back to you, Ralph.
How do I flush this? That way it won't go down. I came in the handle.
We need a plunger.
Eclipse.
Thomas Lennon is 47 years old today. Gillian Anderson is 49. And Andra Kendrick celebrates 32 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh.
Meow. Meow.
Come on, Kevin. Get on board. It's going to be fun. Today's going to be fun, and this weekend at the Pasadena Convention Center is going to be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, it is CatCon LA time. Organizer, writer, catchrepreneur Susan Michaels joins us back in the studio.
Thank you, Susan.
Welcome back, sweetheart.
How are you?
Third year in a row for CatCon?
Third year. It's going to be clawsome.
It is going to be clawsome, and you still have not been able to figure out a way to get to convince Kevin to come on by and enjoy the fun.
Saying clawsome right off the bat is going to help Kevin.
It's not going to help that.
Kevin, it's the convention with catitude. Come on.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love little cats?
I don't love cats. Cats suck.
You know, we have a lot of humans that are coming, too. We have feline and human talent once again. Would you like to know who?
Yeah.
I definitely want to talk about the lineup because I think people would be surprised. Now, there are 20,000 people coming this weekend?
Yep. That's what we're expecting.
20,000 people. Kevin, you saw Kendrick Lamar last night. How many people were there?
What does Staples Center hold?
18,000? Less than 20,000.
19,000.
Wow. So cats are more popular than Kendrick Lamar. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about this year, Susan.
You know, first of all, I got to tell you that there's a lot of musicians out there that are cat people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Struts, Brandon Boyd. Gerard Way, who we're cautiously optimistic, is going to join us because he is a huge Kitty fan.
All K-Rock bands, Kevin.
Ryan Adams. Florence Welch.
Wow.
Your buddy Ed Sheeran.
I love him.
He'd be a cat person, sure.
Yeah, he would be.
But let me get to the people that are participating.
Okay.
We've got Ian Somerhalder from The Vampire Diaries.
Oh.
And what's he doing there?
Who cares
is a valid answer.
Yes.
He is presenting the award for Advocate of the Year at the CatCon Awards, the first annual CatCon Awards.
Oh. So these are awards given to cat owners for...
Well,
being good.
We have six categories.
Susan.
There are things like best vocalist for cats that go, meow, 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 meow. We have biggest newcomer. We have freshest loaf. Video
what?
Of the year.
What?
Freshest loaf. Cats sometimes take the position of looking like a loaf of bread.
Not what I thought loaf meant. Okay.
Yeah.
I was terrified that this was going to involve kitty litter. Okay.
Good one. Besties, which is perfect for you guys. It's pictures of you and your cat. And then we have Advocate of the Year, which is going to be this wonderful lady named Kitten Lady who saves neonatal kittens. Little teeny baby, teeny weeny kittens.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, wonderful work that she does.
Yes.
That's fantastic. So will Ian Somerhalder be there at, at the event?
Yes.
He said that he'll be participating.
She started with that.
Yeah, he's participating. Okay. He's participating. Right. We also have Mosho the cat rapper.
All right. Now, here's my question about Mosho. does Mosho rap?
Mosho does rap.
I don't believe that for a second.
Yes, he does. He's doing two performances.
Come on. You guys are just pranking me, right?
No.
Susan, how do you define rapping?
Right.
He meows, okay? Look, I'm on your side. I love you, but how does he rap?
I saw Kendrick Lamar last night. Does he rap like Kendrick Lamar?
He sure as hell does.
What does he do? Like, how does it
all
does
of
it
his
sound?
Songs, all of his, just to be clear, he is a human. He, all of his... Yeah.
He said he was a cat. If you call him the cat rapper, you can't then bury the lead that he's a human.
I'm very sorry. He's a human who raps all of his songs are around
cats.
Well,
that makes it completely different. It's still horrible, but it makes it completely different.
Yeah, I'm with Kevin on that. That's horrible. We don't need that. That's no good at all.
It's not going to be a catastrophe here.
Susan, this year I feel like more than the previous 2 years, you have so many Instagram famous cats, like with huge followings, right? Like it's a superstar lineup this weekend.
Correct. We've got Little Bub is back.
Now these meet and greets are sold out?
The meet and greets are sold out.
For $100 a person.
All right, so Little Bub shows up. You get your picture taken with him, but as you mentioned,
how many
the meet
people
are sold out.
Makes it sold out?
There are 200.
200 people.
Oh, 200 times 100. And that's just one.
Whoa, hold the phone here, guys.
Yeah.
90% of the money for that goes to charity.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which and charity?
Little Bub's Big Fund, Milo Sanctuary, and Kitten Rescue.
Okay. All right. I don't have any problem with people making money off of it. It's even better if it goes to help the animals.
I will tell you our charity beneficiary is the Ian Somerhalder Foundation, and $2 of every ticket sold goes to that foundation to help kitties in need and doggies, too.
Now, is Pudge sold out, the meet and greet with Pudge?
Pudge is sold out.
Sold out.
Oscar the Blind Cat, the official cat of the Braille Institute, sold out.
Now, why are people lining up to see a blind cat?
Because he's sweet, cute, and cuddly, and he is representative of the underdog cat.
Okay. All right.
The underdog.
I have a blind dog friend who's just the sweetest little dog in the world. I just love, love, love him so much. It's amazing when you see an animal, and lots of animals with disabilities, who have the best, most positive attitudes in the world and are enjoying their lives so much, when I feel like if the same thing had happened to a human, you would just sit in a ball and just weep all day about how bad things were.
Well, you know, to that point, we have a number of great lectures, and the first one is called They Put the Special in Special Needs. And that has Little Bub, Oscar the Blind Cat, another cat.
Beer mug.
Who will be on stage for that meowing?
So what do the cats do in that?
Well, it's the humans that are speaking on the cat's behalf about what it means, the challenges and the wonderful things that can happen in having a cat with special needs.
Are dogs included in this weekend?
No. But you know what? We do have a special lecture that I was hoping you might be able to join us for. It's called Men and Cats, A Love Story.
Kevin? Can you make that? Or
I don't think I'm going to be able to make
that. CatCon LA is happening at the Pasadena Convention Center. Tickets are available now. $30 for a one-day pass. You can go to catconworldwide.com for more information and to get your ticket. And by the way, one of the biggest stars of the whole weekend, Susan, we haven't even mentioned yet, which is Catwoman from the Batman
movie, right?
But from the Julie Batman Newmar series, yes, Julie Newmar will be there. She is going to be holding court all day Saturday. We also have Trisha Helfer from Lucifer and Battlestar Galactica. We have Gilles Marini. We have, I know, right? We have Tess Holliday. We have a number of other cats, Luna Rose, Nala Cat, and White Coffee Cat. And especially for Beer Mug, we have something coming back. I want to talk about the products if I have a second or two.
Yeah.
Some of the products that are going to be there. We have the world famous Beer Mug approved Licky Brush is coming back.
That was a big hit from last year, sure.
We have the Litter Robot. We have something especially for you guys, Kitty DNA Tests.
And that's what?
That's to trace the ancestry of your pet?
That's right. To see if your what is your cat is a Persian, is a Maine Coon, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Just why? Like human DNA.
But why?
Why not? If you love cats.
You guys want to hear the cat wrapper?
A little bit.
Yeah. Omar, did you get some?
Yeah. Because then we are out of time. But yeah, I'd love to hear some of this.
Yeah.
I just went up, got a crazy cat, met a Mogan cat world. Yeah, we getting bigger. I just went up, got a piece of cat litter, and I love cat ladies. We trying to get with you.
All right, so you got that going for you. So that's happening.
I hope that's not the best tip, Susan.
So that guy is
we've got tons. Hey,
is going to be rapping.
A listener is asking if Grumpy Cat is going to be involved at all this year.
No, Grumpy Cat is not attending.
Not this year.
What happened?
Prima Donna?
She's stuck in her litter box back in Arizona.
Mm. Okay, well, maybe another year.
Maybe all another year.
CatConWorldwide.com for cats and people who love them. The convention with Catitude is happening this weekend at the Pasadena Convention Center. And Susan, you'll be walking the halls all day long. People have a chance to see you and meet you.
Yes. And right now, for all of our K-Rock listeners, if you buy tickets right now at CatConWorldwide.com and you use the promo code CatCon, you'll get some serious dollars off.
Wow. Oh,
very nice. All right. Well, we'll do it again next year. I hope you have a wonderful time.
We don't have to do it again next year. She can do it again next year.
I insist, first of all.
Please
and second of all,
please don't
you'll see Beer Mug this weekend,
right? That's right. Please don't be a scaredy cat.
I mean, come on. What am I supposed to do?
I love it. I wish I knew you.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin DeBean Show at 9:40.
I thought we'd get a week off of the hay with Chip gone. I don't know that anyone needs to fill in that position, is what I'm saying. If she's gone, you can just be quiet. Yeah.
Right?
Speaking of disappointments, Rob's here with our final look at the show. This beat here for a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
It's time to play our game, Who Got Paid the Most? You know, I love these lists where I bring them in and you have to guess who got paid most. We did it with movie stars. We've done it with tours, musical tours. We did it with stand-up comedians recently. Now Forbes magazine has once again released one of their famous lists. And this time it's the world's highest paid DJs. DJs for 2017. Now, we're not talking about DJs like radio personalities.
No, we're talking about because we EDM type.
We all know Rodney would be the top of the list for that one. But this is guys who... you know, they put on a wacky head and they push a button. You know, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys who are working hard for the money.
So where is Deadmau5 on the list since you gave that one away?
There's a few.
Yeah, he's not the only one who puts heads on his head, by the way. 2017, world's highest paid DJs. Start your engines.
Well, I saw number one, so I have to recuse myself, but I didn't see any of the rest of the top ten.
Well, then you just sit there.
All right.
While we play our game.
Is Calvin Harris considered a DJ?
He is, Allie. In fact, he's the number one earning DJ for 2017.
Oh, okay.
All he made this year so far. Now, keep in mind, it's just August.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. So we could probably make a few more bucks before the end of the year.
Sure.
All he made so far is $48.5 million. That's all.
That album he's got out is real good, and I love that that feel song. You guys heard that?
Yeah.
With Katy Perry. Good song.
I like that, too.
And he produces a lot, too.
Yeah,
so.
He does.
So we'll let him earn his money.
I'll let Calvin Harris slide.
All right. Give me some more
I have a guess.
Top Dog.
What?
We didn't hear your little thing that you did there.
Top Dog.
Top Dog?
Top Dog.
I don't even know who that is.
How about Steve Aoki?
Steve Aoki. Fifth on the list, Kevin.
with $29.5 million. That buys a lot of cake, right?
All right.
Oh, where he throws those cakes. How entertaining!
Zed.
Ooh, he said.
Zed.
10th. 10th on the list.
Shame.
Just $19 million.
Smokers.
Chain Smokers, third on the list, Allie.
Like Chain and Smokers were two different guesses.
Chain Smokers.
I thought they were two guys.
Chain and Smokers, yes.
Yeah.
Together, they earned $38 million.
What about that old dude? Is he still DJing?
Right.
The old dude?
David Guetta.
Guetta.
Yeah.
However you say it, he's seventh.
Seventh.
Right.
With $25 million.
Allie, you're good at this game.
Yeah, because
I... knows her EDM.
Well...
Paul Oakenfold, not on our list.
Tiesto.
Tiesto second on the list with $39 million.
Yeah.
How about, what's the kid's name? The Swedish kid.
Right?
Martin Garrix?
Martin Garrix, ninth on the list.
Mm.
Okay, all right.
Can't drink in the U.S., but he can make $19.5 million on the road.
Wow. How many are we missing?
What about those Italian Ingrosso dudes?
Axwell and Ingrosso?
Yes.
Not on the list. You're missing three. You got three left.
They're Swedish.
Okay.
They're not Italian. They're Swedish.
Diplo.
What would Diplo say?
Diplo.
He'd say, I'm number six on the list.
Oh.
With $28.5 million.
What about Dylan Francis?
No.
Oh.
Are we missing anyone?
You're missing two. Mafia. You're missing two.
That's who I thought they were.
You're missing two.
The Ingrosso guys.
You're missing two.
Okay.
Missing two.
You have two more names you can name that would be in the top ten.
Should we know them, Ralph, or is this another one?
Absolutely, you should know them. Right. Skrillex.
Oh,
Skrillex, fourth on the list, beer mug. Fourth on the list with $30 million.
And Marshmallow Man.
Marshmallow is eighth. on the list. Marshmallow's eighth on the list.
He wears a
He wears a big marshmallow head.
Yes.
Oh, is that wild? Oh, congratulations, everybody on the list. You're really outstanding. You're super talented.
We should get the top 10 highest paid turntablists, guys that actually do mixing, and that would be great.
But they don't put marshmallows on their heads.
They do not. They actually, some actually use records.
What?
I
that sounds hard.
Really crazy.
Difficult.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations to Andy Samberg and his wife, Joanna. They are the parents of a new, beautiful baby girl. Everyone's surprised because this pregnancy was very hush-hush. No one really knew she was pregnant.
Babies are dumb.
They're not. They're very nice.
Babies are boring.
No,
I mean,
not.
They don't party. They haven't traveled. They have no sense of irony.
They're awesome, and we love them. When I have baby, the winner baby con on. When are the ones who run baby con? Said that awful cat lady.
Did you hear that, Ralph?
She's lovely.
I wanted to just take my own life.
I wanted to hit her in the back of the head with a snow shovel. I want to hear gong. I want to hear that noise and just watch her bleed out.
I am not a cat person, but watching Kevin's...
You're not a cat person?
That's true.
Yeah, she did say
but watching
that.
Kevin's disdain and the joy it brought her was kind of amusing to me.
I just couldn't.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. Back to you.
I'd like to beat her with a cat corpse.
Wow.
That'd be awesome, right?
How unhappy would that make her to be beaten to death with a dead cat?
That's unbelievable.
All of us
unhappy.
That's horrible.
Terrible.
Awesome.
I hate cats, and that's horrible.
That'd be terrific.
It wouldn't.
What if she just buried an avalanche of dead cats?
No.
Oh,
what's wrong with you?
Would that be a catastrophe?
It would be. Have either of you cat haters ever had a cat?
Yeah, because cat haters go right out and get a cat.
It's strange. I hate cats so much. I should have had one, but yet no. I've opted because I hate cats not to have one.
I'm just wondering if it's based on the experience of having a cat. That's what turned you against cats. Like, Chip hates Mr. Pickle, so that's why she doesn't like cats, because Mr. Pickle has made her life miserable. But it sounds to me like you guys just
based on other people's experiences, decided you hate cats. And you have no idea how awesome it is to have cats.
The Twilight Zone, when they pushed the radio into the tub and killed the owner and then had full run of the house. That was it for me.
Exactly.
That was it.
That was it? Then you wrote them off forever?
That was a documentary.
And that did happen, and that was real.
Yes, right.
But what I'm saying is not all cats will try to kill you.
I have known plenty of cats.
Too.
Other people I know who have had cats.
Friends and family.
Yes. And all dicks.
Yeah.
And they steal your breath.
Cats are dicks, and they steal your breath.
And you can't photograph them, I know. But let me just say one more thing. This is my final effort. Is Kevin, you used to do nothing but make fun of little tiny dogs. Nothing but just say they weren't even dogs, they were rats. Then you got yourself a little tiny dog, and you love that dog so much. You were wrong on that, because when you owned one, you realized how awesome they were, correct?
Yes.
Why can that be the case with cats?
That would not happen.
Right.
But you've decided, you've already decided they suck, and you don't know.
Yes, I have. The difference is cats.
I've spent time with cats, with friends and family, Bean. I have interacted with cats, and they are dicks.
I'm just saying you guys should get a cat.
Okay, well, get right on that.
I'll pass.
And we're going to go to CatCon this weekend as well.
Yeah, but that's different. Cats die all the time.
Not enough, right? I think that's what we're saying.
Stop.
No, they don't die frequently enough is what we're saying.
No one's saying
we're
that.
We're saying we should increase.
Zero people are saying
that. Cat mortality
numbers
should shoot up.
I'm not even saying that.
For.
No.
We're just saying it'd be
I'm
better.
Sorry, I'm thinking about cats again. Yeah. I think about how many don't have a home and how I should have them and how cute they are and their ears and the whiskers
they do have ears.
I just love them and I want them and I want them in a basket.
In a basket.
And I want little bow ties.
Yes, bow ties.
I want them to be on a rainbow and just in my bed.
She's
and
not
I
helping.
Just want a house full of them.
Right. Okay.
And I just want to roll around.
Okay.
You'll get them. You'll get
them. You should be more like her, Kevin, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Wow, she's not helping her cause.
Yeah. You should be less like her, Dave, is what we're saying. And congratulations to Matt Stutzman. Real quick, this isn't really show business, but I did want to give him a shout out. Matt Stutzman, he landed the gold in Target Championship and the silver in the compound final in the USA Archery Outdoor National Championships this week. So congratulations to Matt.
What just happened? What?
I'll just give Matt a little shout out because he won the gold and the silver at the Archery National Championships. Oh, and I forgot to mention, he has no arms.
What?
What?
He shoots a compound bow with his feet.
That's incredible.
And he got the gold Target Championship and the silver in the compound across the board in all the categories in the finals.
Was he competing against other guys with no arms?
Oh, no, Allie. These are archers. These are able-bodied archers.
Unbelievable.
That he competed in the U.S. Archery National Championships. He is now poised to gain a spot on the U.S. Olympic archery team.
Wow. Good for him.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
And he uses his feet.
Wow.
He asks the question, if a guy without arms can get a bow and sit down and compete with the best in the world at a sport with them using their arms, what's your excuse? What aren't you doing that you should do? Get off the couch and get it done. Matt's a dick.
He doesn't
need
angry.
To make us feel bad.
That is mean.
Take it easy.
I'm looking pretty smart with the
asshole.
Now, right, Allie?
No.
We just didn't know at that point.
It just sounded pretty aggressive.
He's got a point, though. If he can shoot a bow and arrow with his feet, we could do.
Why are we complaining?
We could do something.
We can do more than we do. Certainly. Yes.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sam Elliott is 73 years old today. Melanie Griffith is 60. Eric Bana is 49. Thomas Lennon's 47. Gillian Anderson's 49. And Anna Kendrick celebrates her 32nd birthday. And Ralph Garman will walk the showbiz beats.
Figure out the SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. We're going to talk Dodgers with Matt Money Smith and perhaps Chargers as he's their play-by-play guy. And Bean makes us guest tomorrow as well.